Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're what? No, stop it.
You're listening to
Sapnin
Podcast.
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 143 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring my fantastic looking self, which you can't see because this is audio only, Sean Smith. And of course, my very good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And a little reminder, if you're having identity crisis, there's the illusion of safety with this podcast.
Oh, is that it? Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought that was quite nice. Good. I thought it was a nice little... Good.
Yep. Move on. Yep. This week's guest is a singer, songwriter, and all-round legend and inspiration to hundreds of bands, Dustin Kensrue of Thrice and Dustin Kensrue fame.
Yes, he's back. What a treat. What a songwriter. What a voice. There's no secret that Thrice are one of our favourite bands collectively. And whether he likes to admit it or not, Dustin has had a key part in shaping the alternative scene to what it is today. A lot has happened since the last time we spoke to him with Eddie on episode 50. They've built their own studio, relaunched the Thrice the Alliance fan club, and recorded a new album titled Horizons East, which is going to be out digitally on September the 17th before physical copies are out on October 8th via Epitaph Records. And obviously, we had to get him back on to talk all about it and some mad stories from his career. But it goes without saying how much you love his melodies, Sean.
Oh, he's fantastic. He's absolutely fantastic. And I think during this chat, as you will hear, when I tell him how inspirational he is, part of me thought inside that he was screaming, fuck's sake, don't blame me for that shit. So, yeah, it was fantastic to have him on. Thanks again, Dustin. Sorry for taking up your time. You're a lovely chap. Your band is inspirational. And as, given hundreds, if not thousands of bands, ideas and inspiration for songs. So, thank you very much for giving us your time. But yeah, you were just talking about everything he's done over lockdown and since we last seen him. Wait till you find out what I did over lockdown, which is mad when you think about it. Because I did talk to Dustin about it. He talks about recording an album, writing, recording, making a studio and doing all this. And what was the one song I recorded over the lockdown? You're going to have to keep listening to find out.
But yeah, we're going to have a really relaxed conversation on everything from building the studio to this new record. There's unique lyric techniques he's tried out, secret projects, and so much more. But if you're attending 2000 Trees Festival in 2022,
yes. You
might want to keep an ear out for a certain promise he makes us on this episode.
Yes, he did promise he was going to give us $1 million in a duffel. That was the other thing we did.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Oh, we'll have a listen anyway and keep your ears out. And yeah, there's something interesting there. But yes, congratulations to Dustin and Thrice on the songs they've released so far from the record, Horizons East. Scavengers, fantastic. And Robot Soft Exorcism, which is a mad name for a song.
Oh, yeah.
But his beautiful voice is all over it, and it's cracking. It's absolutely cracking.
I couldn't agree more. So before we go straight into this conversation, a little reminder as always, if you'd like to support the podcast and keep us having these wonderful chats with some incredible guests each and every week, please go and support us via our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. Over there is loads of extra bonuses you can sink your teeth into and become a part of our wonderful community of lovely, lovely human beings who send each other messages each and every day, take part in conversations.
They send each other messages. They send each other presents.
They do, yeah.
Some people have sent money back and forth. So we're basically the Bitcoin before Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Right? People have started sending things back and forth to each other. But yes, what a wonderful community. And as Morgan said, our Patreon has behind the scenes photos, videos, chats, some other podcasts we did with other people. And a whole array of stuff for you to sink your teeth into, and then obviously join our wonderful community of absolute bloody legends.
Yes, you should go and do it. It's a real treat and one of our favorite things to come out of this whole podcast malarkey. And go and give us a follow on our social media pages at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram as well. But without any further ado, let's just get straight into it. This is the legend that is Dustin Kendrew of Thrice, back on episode 143 of Sapnin Podcast.
Lovely stuff. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Sapnin. Yes, this week's guest is frontman, guitarist, musician, all-round legend. This week's guest is Dustin Kendrew of the mighty Thrice. How are you?
Doing well. Yeah, thanks for having me back on.
No, man.
No worries. Pleasure. Thank you for coming back on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for taking the time. It's been a while. I think the world has changed a little bit since we all got together and had a conversation.
I mean,
how have you been since then? I mean, I'm sure you've had to deal with a lot of things, but how generally have you been these kind of last 18 months with everything and being at home now?
Yeah, it's been a mix of feelings, emotions, and situations. I think there was a lot of good in the initial lockdown for myself and my family, just kind of getting to actually like hang and not have me on the road a bunch. And so that there's a lot of healthy stuff happening there. But as it's dragged on, you know, it's just, I don't know, generally all right. But then I'm going to just days where I just feel overwhelmed by all of it. And especially with tour coming up and Delta going on. Just not sure how that's all going to work out. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, about the music though, the music, I'm really happy with this record. And even that was hard to like get like the momentum moving and the ball rolling as far as us writing and recording it. With COVID going on, we have some people in our families who are immunocompromised. And so trying to be really careful. So we weren't together unmasked for the whole thing. So we were writing a bunch, getting together, jamming with masks, taking it back home, pushing it forward. We were also finishing building out our studio. So that was kind of slowing it up too. But yeah, so in the end, I mean, this is a bit longer between records than we usually have going. I think our general move is kind of like 2 years between, but yeah, this one's more like three, I guess. Once it's out.
Yeah, that's mad to hear that you recorded it and wrote it with masks, really, I guess. That's, yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah, myself, literally the only recording my band has done over this period, I think, was we did a thrice cover. We did a thrice cover for 2000 Trees. For 2000 Trees, my band did a thrice cover. So that, yeah, that was literally all I recorded over this period. But yeah.
Well, good choice then.
Oh yeah. Well, it was a great choice, but then we were like, let's do the Earth Will Shake by Thrice. Let's fucking do that. That'll be awesome. And then they did all the music and I was like, yeah, that sounds cool. And I was like, oh, I can't fucking sing. Oh, I've forgotten I can't sing. No way. So yeah, that was a struggle, but yeah, I got through it in the end and it wasn't too bad, but yeah, that I find it crazy that to record in masks and stuff and
yeah, it's weird to see how fast the world can change and stuff with everything. But I mean, in some sense, I'm sure it's been a blessing in disguise having that studio you guys have been working on with over the last few years in particular. I mean, Newgrass Studio is something a lot of the last records have been made or bits have been recorded in and stuff. How handy, looking back now, is it that you kind of made those investments a couple of years back to have something like this?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think. I think Newgrass is basically the name that we like carry with us now, because there was the original Newgrass that was in Tepe's old garage that we did Alchemy Index and Beggars in. So all those were recorded there, but then we didn't have that space anymore. So now this is the first time we built, this is a totally new space that we've been practicing in for the past year, 2 years maybe. And we've been building out into a functional studio. So this is the first time we've like really tracked at this place. But that's been fantastic. We've recorded ourselves multiple times, but you kind of learn a lot of new things every time you work with someone else. And so it's always fun to go back to just the four of us, and there's just like good energy and progression, and like there's not a lot of critiquing in a sense. Like I think we really trust each other, and when we do critique, like I think it's well received coming from each other. And then but we also like, I think we've all grown to understand you don't want the perfect take, you know, you want the vibey take, you want the one that has like a feeling and emotion to it. And so that was kind of hard learned as we worked with certain people who were trying to get us super tight, and then it sounded not very live and vibey and kind of dead. I mean, good, but dead in a certain way. So that's one of the big benefits of doing it ourselves. And I'm really happy with how it turned out.
Yeah. So I'd love to get into Newgrass a little bit more if we can, because obviously you said there that you've built a new space with it now. And I find it so interesting when bands kind of take that initiative to build it like a warehouse or a studio or something they can go to write and record and everything. How did the process of kind of building it happen? Did you really all have to do DIY stuff and build it for scratch? You have people come in. How did all that work out?
Kind of a combination. We like the main, so it's basically one of those, I don't know, I'm sure you have something similar over there, but it's like a small industrial space. There's like a big garage door and like a small warehousey space, and then like a little officey space in the front. But it's in the middle of like a bunch of, you know, actual businesses. So we built, this part we paid people to do, but built a room within that room that's soundproof. And had some help from some friends, like advising us on how to build it out, who built studios before. Brian McTernan, one of them, who's recorded some of our stuff in the past. And then actually building out a lot of the soundproofing was Ed is really good at woodworking. So he built all these baffles and hung them. They look fantastic, but they work great. So
yeah, I was about to say, they look fantastic.
He was doing a lot of that, even as we were kind of finishing up some of the writing and, so everyone has their own things that they've got to dive deep on. For me, it's a lot of the lyrics, take a lot of time and always end up coming late because we write the music first. And then every single time I make everyone promise that we're not going to do that the next time, but it's always up, down to the wire. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it's not broken, don't fix it, because you've been linked in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, you haven't missed yet, so fucking keep it going, I reckon. This was this produced or just recorded by Tepe?
So we would say all of us are producing it. Tepe is engineering it, just in the sense that, I mean, we're all really collaborating on that aspect of it. And then this was the first time we've had a buddy, Scott Evans, mix, and we were really, really happy with that process and the results. So he kind of, mixing is always hard because it can change the record a lot. And so there's exciting things that can happen, but also, frustrating things as you spend a lot of time and then you're like, okay, yeah, I think so maybe. And then, so Scott ends up mixing in general, almost like one of us would mix, like just his sensibilities, really trying to have it be powerful, but it's still really raw and natural feeling. So, it was cool, especially because, you know, Tepe's, you know, blown his ears out recording the whole thing and then to not have to mix it, but to have someone who's mixing in a way that feels natural for us. So in the end, we're just doing like little tweaks, like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe bring this thing up, whatever. But the general vibe was pretty easy to get. And, yeah, I'm really happy with it.
Nice. Well, yeah, I listened to Robot Soft Exorcism earlier on headphones, because normally I just chuck it on the iPad or whatever, like any music, just chuck it on. But for some reason, I was like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen to it on headphones. I think it was the smartest decision I might have ever made, because it sounds fucking incredible. I saw it this way, but that's me just genuinely being excited and not being able to control my emotions. It sounds fantastic on headphones. So congratulations to everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm really, really happy with the way it sounds. I think this is the first time we've had a record mixed probably that we were just like, I don't think any of us feels anything is, and part of that's because we spent the time and had a good rapport with Scott that we were able to get it there. But I don't think any of us has any like, ooh, I wish we'd have done that, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Is there any kind of like examples you can think of over the years where maybe a mix has come back and there's been like a certain thing you just weren't expecting, like something to be overblown in one ear or panned out or anything like that?
I think now my brain is not working. I'm trying to think of guy's name and mixed it last record. And it's escaping me. He's super talented. He mixes all sorts of stuff, like heavy stuff, pop stuff, very interesting. And he's the kind of mixer that really brings a lot and has like a big influence on where the sound goes. So there was certain stuff on that record, like, that we come back and we're totally surprised, and would sit with it for a while and be like, oh, dang. Okay. Yeah. This is actually really cool. So it's a different process, more like a lot of the songs really shifted a bunch. Whereas this one, it was more about, here's where the song's already going, and this is the best version of it.
Well, getting into Horizons East a little bit, I do actually understand that throughout that kind of recording process and writing, that you guys actually set yourselves some kind of open challenges and goals to maybe try little things to spark inspiration, like using some jazz chords that you all really like and certain sequences. Is that true? Is that something that happens quite often within the Fryce camp?
We've discovered, which is kind of a known thing for a lot of artists, but it works for us as well. But Having some kind of constraint always fuels creativity. It's very easy to think the opposite, where you're like, no, I need all the freedom. And, you know, ultimate freedom is a black hole for creativity. And so you want something to push against. And that's why something like the Alchemy Index was so much fun for us to do, because it was a lot of constraints, a lot of boundaries and barriers to push up against. And inside those barriers, you get to be as creative as you possibly can. So we're always looking for something else, a concept like that, that would be as fun. And we're always striking out on figuring out what that would be. So this time it was kind of a different approach, where instead we had like a list of just random challenges that we call, like, it's like, hey, what if we do something like this? So it's like, make a riff based on the Fibonacci sequence, use these chordal chords, which are like a certain kind of jazz chords and so on, whatever it is. So like, those would be little things to, it's like a different kind of challenge in the sense that it would be, it's not an outside constraint, but it's like pushing into the song. This has to remain in here somehow. Around it.
Yeah. How do you write a riff to the Fibonacci sequence?
So if I understand right, that was Tepe's idea, and he worked it out. And it's basically, he mapped out the distances in the scale from like the numbers as it goes up, and then played that, and then just took a couple notes out to give it like a little bit of movement. It's cool. Sounds pretty, it's very jazzy feeling, like, I don't know, it sounds like it could be like a later Ornette Coleman, or I don't know. It's cool though.
Yeah. Nice. That's awesome. I just love hearing about people's writing techniques and stuff, and I like to see how other people do it, and that's amazing. I never thought to be like, I know what we should do. The Fibonacci sequence. Let's break that down. Like, that's fucking, that's
I'd love
genius.
To be that. I'd love to be that musically talented, though, to just
Of course, yeah.
Is there any other little bits like that, little other things on the list that you've tried, or maybe some random thing people have suggested?
Those were the ones that stand out to me, because I think they had some of the biggest influence. I'm sure there are other small ones, but I can't think of them off the top of my head.
I did see, because obviously, you know, the album that was getting a couple of early reviews sneaking in and stuff with some publications, and I did see someone describe it as a soundtrack for deeper dreaming. Is that a kind of, is that something you would suggest the album, this album is now, like 11 releases in?
Yeah, I think that's kind of playing off even a lyric in Robot Soft Exorcism, which you guys heard today, where it says there's a deeper dream, which is essentially saying there's something, if you push past the easy thing that you grab onto, there's something better. And I think the whole record is in a way pushing people to do that kind of deeper dreaming, to step out of the easy certainties that they're used to and embrace nuance, embrace openness, and new ways of thinking. And
Yeah, that's quite interesting, because obviously, you know, you've been writing songs for over 20 years now, and for me, someone who's just a consumer of music, lyrics is something I always am fascinated by, how they're written, how people kind of fit them into songs, if it's just working sounds first and the melodies and then having everything go like that. When it is that comes to that process, is there anything that you've changed over the years, or anything that is like just worked for you? How has writing lyrics like evolved since starting Thrice?
Quite a bit, I think. We almost always do music first, and then I sing melodies, and then I write lyrics to the melodies. But the stuff that's changed is, I think, one of the bigger things I learned a couple years in was really starting to try to listen to, like, let the song inform where the lyrics go. And if that makes sense, like, the song already has dynamics and emotive qualities and a flow. And I realized I didn't need to try to just jam something into that, but that I could let that really influence what the song was going to develop into anyway, which I think saying it out loud, you're like, well, yeah, duh, shouldn't you do that? I don't know. I didn't initially do that very well. And it's become something very important to the process. And then I think a further evolution of that, which I've done more on this record than I ever have, is incorporating even some of the, so when I've gotten good at just singing nonsense lyrics along to make the melodies more jamming, because for a while I felt self-conscious doing it because you're saying words, but you don't know what you're saying and it feels weird and you got to get over it. And so there's something about that process where your brain and your mouth are like, end up picking things that feel good to say in the phrasing that you're doing.
Yeah.
And so I'll often try to follow that in certain ways, but sometimes when you're just singing, random stuff will come out that ends up being interesting. And so on this record, I would pick some of those things up and let them also influence where the song would lead. You guys haven't heard the record yet, but I mean, I'd say like there's more than half the songs have like a prominent thing that like came from that kind of thing. And then I would shift a little bit, whatever, but I would use it to help me kind of find the core of where the song was going to go. So it's not like the song is nonsense. It's just that the phrase came in a way that was unique and then was a kind of a starter spark to like progress the song. So that part of me revolted against doing that originally because it felt like cheating or felt like it was like, that's not, I didn't work hard to get that thing. But yeah, I think it's a lot of it's because I'm so, I critique myself very hard as I'm writing. And so it's hard for me to be prolific and actually get a lot out. And so if I can get some things out, I'm very good at editing. I'm very good at like refining. And so if I can get some more stuff out, it's helpful to actually build the song.
Yeah.
Nice. Do you remember, any of the weird sentences you originally sang that you've changed? Because I've used that technique myself. My old band had a song called I'm a Riot, You're a Fucking Riot. And the original lyric, there was an actress at the time in the UK called Billie Piper, who was very attractive. So originally, for some reason, just rehearsing and jamming, I started yelling, I love Piper, I love Billie Piper. And I was like, oh, that fits. That is absolutely perfect for a chorus. So I changed it, I love Piper, I love Billie Piper, to I'm a riot, you're a fucking riot. And I was like, oh, that fits. That's lovely. Thank you very much, Billie Piper. Is there any lyrics or, yeah, just words that you threw out there that you remember that were daft or silly or?
The one that sticks out, which is on a song that's not going to be on the record, but will be on the follow-up record probably, was there's this water in the Wi-Fi. It's, and I said it like multiple times and it's like really quiet part. So it's like really clear. But like, for instance, one that did stick was, and this was a little bit different. I was writing Scavengers and doing the chorus. And sometimes if I want to sing something for the demo to show the guys and I want to put a harmony to it, I'll try to figure out some quick thing to sing so that I can actually like match the harmony. But I also don't want it to just be super junky. So like in that moment, I was like, I started writing and I wrote out that chorus as it is. And it was making sense to me, but I didn't know what this whole song was going to be about, but it felt good. And I was like, okay, but because I was thinking this doesn't matter, I was able to get it out and like not overthink it. And then I was like, that's the chorus, that's it. And built the song around that. So yeah.
Oh,
nice. Yeah.
That's a fun way to do it though, because it must, on some level, you must self-consciously be thinking, well, why did I go to that first? Why did that come out? So you want to explore it. Yep. You want to dive into that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
Mine was just because I was attracted to Billie Piper all the time. So it's not as cool as, it's not a cool story. It's the truth. So
At least that's the truth now. But no, obviously we mentioned that you've been writing songs and Thrice has been going for well over two decades now. And if you like it or not, I'm sure you get a lot that people come up to you and say that you've influenced them or some way and that you've seen some mannerisms from Thrice or song titles and stuff being used for certain things in that kind of alternative rock scene. Is there anyone that comes to mind that you were kind of surprised by or you've seen a Thrice reference somewhere and being shocked, either good or bad?
I don't know if I'm that aware of all the references that you were talking about, but I think for me, it's like I get really excited when, even if it's a band, because I'm influenced by so many different things and you're not going to hear all of it in Thrice. Though I do think probably the way our band functions, you'd hear more of it than with most bands maybe, but so I just, if there's a band that like I actually really like and I know that they listen to us, like that's really cool to me. So like what comes to mind is Gang of Youths, one of my favorite bands. And I got to have David on a podcast a while ago and he's just the best and was a fan. And so that was super cool. Just to have, I don't know. It's rewarding, even though a small piece of that, but it's like, hey, that guy makes music that I really like and he was listening to my music, so yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, nice. You've got to know, you've got to realize like your influence. Thrice is just a massive influence on everything that's come from the first record onwards. It's like the majority of bands in the UK probably owe quite a bit to Thrice. So I don't know if you want to go around collecting money from people, but you should be able to. I genuinely believe that you could do that.
I'll deputize you to do that for me.
Yes, I'll take 5% of the 10% I'm getting off the rest of everybody else's careers for you. Yes.
Oh, but Sean's just going to be an official Thrice debt collector now. It's just going to be going around the festivals, going. Oh, that riff sounds like, a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, you like Thrice, don't you? Yeah, of course I fucking do. Great. £200, please. Thank you very much. I'll be having that. Dustin, we've got another one. Dustin, we're eating tonight. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you don't have to like name names as well, but I'm sure there's maybe one or two bands you've seen going, they're not influenced by us, so they like you just don't, you maybe not have liked.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely bands that I know are big fans that we don't really, I don't see. It's like, what were they grabbing from this? And it makes you doubt yourself a little bit. But, but no, I mean, it's just everything is, I was just thinking this morning, like I was reading some of the comments about people listening to the new track and it's so, seeing it from like our perspective, writing it, and then seeing how each person approaches it and hears it. Like it's so clear how contextual everything is. Like the way you hear any song is literally colored by all of the other songs that you've heard. So if you had never heard XYZ, like it's going to sound literally different to you. Like you're going to have a totally different way of taking it in. So I don't know, like, especially like this song is, the new Robot Soft Exorcism is very clearly like nodding at Radiohead, like, and we're unashamed in our love for that band. But some songs are, you know, more that direction than others, and this one definitely is. But it's funny watching everyone be like, oh, this is totally like a vibe of like this song or this record from Radiohead, and it's literally spanned like their, like the comments I've seen have spanned their entire you know, yeah, history, which makes sense because it's really not pulling from like one spot. It's just like, oh yeah, when you got the arpeggiated guitar and you got this kind of beat, it's going to feel like something there. But it's just funny how much everyone is like, oh no, it's from this. Just because that's the one I think that they're probably more familiar with.
What are some of those obvious and surprising influences that Thrice have had through for the last couple of records? Who have you been listening to and who's like inspired you to make music lately?
I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about that when we made like a Spotify playlist called Spirit of Horizons East. And so I was trying to think of stuff that was like influencing me for this record. And one of the funny things was the Scavengers, the initial demo that I made for that, and like the demo name that we had while we were writing was called Revolt, which is a reference to the band Color Revolt, which we all love. And it had like a vibe to it that like I was, sometimes you're like almost like, is this ripping like an actual song off? I don't know. And so I went to like find whatever song it was closest to and throw it on the playlist and be like, yeah, this is great. And I couldn't find anything that sounded remotely like it, but for some reason it still like had the vibe to me. And so I had to just pick a random one. I was like, this one's good, I guess. But like, it didn't sound at all like the thing that I thought I was like ripping off. So it's like things are influencing you, and like, you know, whatever I wrote that riff with that beat, something was feeling Color Revoltish to me, but I can't, at the end, I can't really even put my finger on what exactly that is. So, it's hard. I mean, there's like a song on there that's very kind of DC vibe, like Fugazi bassline kind of, but like, it doesn't sound like any Fugazi song. It doesn't, you know, like in the end, it's like, it's hard to, you get a vibe from it, but it's hard to pin down exactly what it is that's doing that.
Well, one of the other things I wanted to bring up is obviously the return of your fan club, The Alliance, with this record. Now, this is something that a lot of bands recently have kind of done themselves with subscription-based services, trying to, you know, a new way for bands to be able to fund, not with, with touring problems over the last couple of years and everything. But there's something you've always gone back to between records or just little spaces and stuff like that. Over the years, how vital has it been to the band? How much of an exciting project is it to have a club like this where you can interact with the fans and give them something a little bit more?
We've traditionally not been great at that stuff, and this is hopefully going to be something that is better in that sense. And I mean, we had like in the very beginning, like we had a message board, and it was like a lot of people interacting on there. It was really great community. And then some people got shitty on there, and we were just like, all right, you don't get to have a message board then. We took it down. And, which apparently you're never supposed to do something like that, but we did. And so it's coming back, on Discord, which, apologies to everyone who signed up and the Discord was not ready yet. There was something, I don't know the technical stuff, but they couldn't get it working. And originally, like, they thought they could, and now it's, it should be up very soon. So, I'm excited for that, to have that and then have a little bit better. I hope that it's a bit more mature now and people are not being dicks, but, yeah, we will have, we'll have monitors on there. And, but I like the idea of having a space that's separated off a little bit from just troll land and trying to like actually foster some cool community. So, and then just trying to do stuff, little videos or here and there behind the scenes stuff, whether it's I did one just, we were hiking up to take the photos for the record with the sunrise stuff, just little snippets of stuff like that, which is it's hard for us, I think, to remember sometimes like to do, so we're trying to get better at that, but just because we don't find ourselves very interesting or our lives. But if you know, if we're talking about like the bands that we really like, we would love to see any of that stuff. So
yeah, that's the thing. See, take that perspective. I think a lot of bands, especially over like bands who've been together like 10 plus years, I think at some point, yeah, they just, because you've been doing it, it's basically been your life and your job, that you haven't, like, you just see it as, oh, here I am just doing this, and you know, I'm in the studio or whatever. But what we've found out from speaking to bands and speaking to fans is they literally love every single behind the scenes detail that they can see and stuff, to the point where we've had, I don't know if you know, but there's a UK British band called While She Sleeps, who are fantastic, and they are massive, massive Thrice fans, and they kind of got their idea for their fan club because they're members of your fan club. They've literally started their, they've started their own now called Sleep Society. So they've started like a Patreon, and yeah, they've literally built a studio. They've learned to build a studio from YouTube. They literally Googled bricklaying and built the studio. And now they've got this unbelievable, like you said, warehouse. They've got a studio in it. They've got offices in it. They've got a practice room in it. And yeah, they've literally potentially forged their own future by making this, fan club, and this Patreon. And yeah, they have no need for maybe a label and all of that stuff anymore because of that. So, they'll be the first people I'll be visiting for us, Dustin. I'll go and get that money back straight away. But yeah, it's just, well, that's your influence. That's your influence. This band has just gone, that's fucking great. We love this band. We love, you know, the interactions we've had and stuff. And now they're doing it on a slightly smaller scale at the moment in the UK. So
that's super cool.
It's just, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Do you think that's kind of the future for bands as well, though, for more stuff like this? I mean, can you see more things like that happening over the years compared to everyone trying to get signed and all those record deals back in the day?
I don't know. I mean, it seriously shifts so quickly now. It does seem like there's ways to do it. I mean, obviously, the funny thing about it is, like, there's some people who are just really naturally talented and smart about how to build their brands, and you know, you can have an Instagram page and live off that, like from making videos, like, and off random things. And we have a full band that's been around forever that has a bunch of fans, and it's still like, we're not skilled in like, how do we make this cool for people in the non-musical sense? So yeah, I don't know. We're trying to learn. I think really a big hurdle of it is just getting over the feeling of like, why would anyone want to see this?
Yeah, you definitely must get over that, because people are interested. They do care. And if you get a chance, check out that While She Sleeps model, because
cool.
I know the boys are doing very well off of it. So
Just a little bit. But speaking of UK bands and, you know, touring overseas again, maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed, pretty soon, 2000 Trees. Now, obviously, you're confirmed to be headlining in 2022. You've been on that lineup now for the last couple of years with it kind of moving around and rescheduling everything. By the time it comes around, this has to be the longest anticipated gig you've had out there.
Yeah, I guess that'd be true. It'll be almost probably 3 years that we would have known that we were going to play that show.
It's almost 2,000 days. It's 2,000 days since 2,000 Trees.
I think we're doing playing Visu at that.
Yes, you are. Are you gonna stick to that? Are you gonna definitely do that? Or
I think so. I mean, that's what we said we were gonna do. So
nice.
Now I'll have to relearn it again. It's been so long.
Well, yeah, my really old band did your first Vahiso tour over here in the UK. We opened for you on that. Yeah, where do we do? I remember we did TJ's Newport. That's no longer there.
What was the band called?
Oh, The Blackout.
Okay,
We opened for you there. The Mean Fiddler, that's no longer there. Underneath the Astoria, that's gone now as well. But yeah, that was, what a tour. One of my favourite tours. And yeah, I just remember you guys playing Image of the Invisible and the place going mental. What a fantastic tour. But when was the Refused tour the last time you were over in the UK?
I think so. Yeah, that would have been.
Yeah, that's when we had our chat, wasn't it? How was that? Like, because for me, they are one of my favourite bands of all time as well. So for both of you to be on that, I lost my mind.
No, I mean, we're all huge fans. And it's like one of those weird tours where you're like, we're co-headlining with these people that we like have looked up to forever. And honestly, they were just the best people. Really good hangs and just very sweet humans. So it was a lot of fun.
Nice. Good.
Yeah. Sounds it. How are you feeling now about gigs opening back up and being back on the road? Are you excited with a little bit of hesitation with everything, or just busting to get back out?
I just take it day by day. I keep feeling like it's it's not going to happen. Something's it's going to get shut down. I'm trying to take my wife's advice and not worry about it till it's closer, because there's no way to know where everything's going to be at. So, but I mean, in general, I'm excited to actually be back out there playing. I wish the Delta virus wasn't killing us so bad, especially with like just the vibe is going to be hard being like trying to keep everyone healthy, because if someone gets sick on the road with it, that's going to shut down the whole thing. So
yeah,
it's like an added layer of stress.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. But fingers crossed for everything, though. I mean, I know a lot of people are busting to get back to show, so fingers crossed we can all do it safely and as we can.
That's the thing. A couple of bands we've spoken to have said is like they're kind of worried about like crowds coming out to shows and stuff. But I genuinely, like, I've done two shows over the last 2 weekends in the UK because the UK government has gone, fuck it, let's just kill all everybody. So we went out and did two shows nervously, in masks, and we were the only people in masks in England, I think, because we're Welsh. So, our rules are different over here. So we went to England like, oh, we still wear masks and try and be safe. And then we got to Liverpool and everybody was like, nah, mate, we just want to fucking snog each other. And we were like, oh, no, thank you. But people are desperate for shows. So they are eager to get the show. So I don't think you have to, definitely don't worry about people not coming out, because they are busting to get back to it. So,
yeah, it's just the safety, isn't it? It's just the extra safety measures.
Yeah, I'm hopefully seeing my first show in forever on Saturday, outdoor show, local natives. So I'm excited about that. But I'm also, I had a COVID exposure. So I'm quarantining right now and getting tested tomorrow. So I think I'm fine. But
fingers crossed for you.
Who'd have thought? Like, literally, when we were on the bus two years ago, who'd have thought? Like, if any of us had brought up, oh, there's going to be a killer virus soon, we'd all be like, oh, shut up, you fool. Don't be so daft. But here we are now, so it's been a weird...
The weirder thing is, I think we might have believed, like, yeah, there'll be a killer virus, but not, like, this thing's going to ruin life on Earth for the next however many years.
And make people hate each other because of it as well, and have mass divide. It's bonkers, isn't it? It's mad.
That's a whole other podcast we could get into. But Dustin, just a couple more quick things before we let you go. I mean, talking about other projects and stuff, we should mention Carry the Fire podcast. Obviously, you've just wrapped up season one back in January with that, and those conversations really get in depth of a lot of different people from kind of backgrounds or what they do and beliefs, thoughts and everything. Having that break now from it and that kind of time of separation, is there any kind of stories or insights from people that you've really like taken with you, or that's really stood out and made you think about different things?
I mean, I think the bigger takeaway for me is the show definitely has a perspective in the sense of like, I'm curating who's coming on and who's in the conversation, but really the only, you know, we're guiding it through this lens of the good, the true and the beautiful, but I want this broad perspective of people who have different beliefs and ways of seeing the world, but they also have a working love for like a plurality in their viewpoint that they can say, this is like the smaller things that I think and are important to me or whatever, but I can see myself within this larger picture, this beautiful picture of a humanity that actually like can love each other and care for each other and see past differences and not have those be a huge dividing wall. So for me, it was just a success, I think, to see like, look, I did this. I had these conversations, not a success for me, but like for hopefully modeling for humanity. Like there is a way to have your individual beliefs and also still be functioning in a loving way towards the rest of the world. And so, I mean, that's really the only thing that was, as long as someone was coming on there and had some openness and wasn't kind of holding super tightly to very toxic views. I wanted them on there. And so I don't know. I think certain people can look at that and say I was being narrow and just having, you know, what some would call a very left approach to it. That's not how I view it, but I could see people saying that if they are coming from a place very right of the people that are on the show. But there really was a large variety of viewpoints, different religious views, political views, not just religious, but like atheists, whatever, agnostics, all sorts of people. And I guess the point is every single person on there has a way that they approach the good, the true, and the beautiful. And if you look at yourself, you do as well. And there are many other ways that you can rally around something and bring everyone in, but that's one of the ways that I found to be helpful.
Is a season two something you're going to be thinking about some point down the line? Obviously, you're going to be really busy with Fries for the foreseeable future, but when you have like a little break again, do you think you'd go back to that?
Yeah, I really don't know at the moment. I'm not going to start it up anytime soon because I'm super busy. Not just with Thrice stuff, but there's other music stuff that I haven't had time to do. And so I want to have some time to pursue those things. But there's, you know, a very real chance that at some point I'll get the bug again and really want to pick it up. Maybe with something has shifted a little bit in the way I want to approach it. But yeah, for now, I'm really happy with what the first season brought about.
Yeah. No, totally. You totally should. Well, you mentioned there's some other music projects you haven't had time to do. Can we ask about that? Is there any inklings that you could tell us?
Yeah, I mean, I always have like five or six like projects floating around my brain that morph into each other or whatever. There's a project with my brother that knows if we'll ever get our shit together and do, but it's actually fairly far along, as far as like, there's like almost a record full of songs that need to be refined and written out, but it's kind of more indie electronic. And then there's definitely kind of solo stuff that I want to continue doing. That's, you know, in some kind of Americana vein. I think the next one will probably be less rock than the last one and a bit more stripped down.
Okay.
There's another project that I'm always like adding songs to the list of it, but it's like I can never quite tell what it's going to end up being when I develop it, but kind of almost like power pop with like roots and some of the punk that I grew up listening to as a kid. And so it's like there's like a lot of stuff, so it's hard to know like what is it actually going to turn into as a record. And yeah, those are the main ones that I want to get to. Yeah,
is the Modern Post on that list as well? Because I know you do get a few comments from people time to time asking for that to come back.
Yeah, well, I've thought about doing another record that would be somewhat in that vein. I mean, I'm in a vastly different theological standpoint than I was when I wrote that record.
Okay.
So I can't tell if it would be interesting to keep the name and put out something from a totally different perspective, or to do something just different.
Sure.
But yeah.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Well, I'm excited to hear all these projects when they do come to fruition. But with all that as well, obviously now Thrice's new record, Horizons and East, comes out on September 17th. You're going to be having plenty of things with that to kind of promote it and everything. But is there anything else we can expect or people should check out? Anything coming up we can sink our teeth into?
Yeah, check out the new... There's a video for the first song that came out, Scavengers, that I wrote the treatment for that, and I'm really happy with how it all came out.
Congratulations.
I feel like it's one of the better videos we've had in a while, and yeah, DJ did a great job filming it. It looks fantastic. And then, yeah, Robot Soft Exorcism came out today. I'm really excited for people to hear more music. There's another song that will be dropping before the record comes out. So probably, I don't know the day, probably equidistant from today and when the record drops, but yeah. But that's the next thing. And then, yeah, hopefully we'll be getting overseas for a proper tour next year too. So
amazing. Amazing. And then 2000 Trees as well. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Well, Dustin, thank you so much for taking the time. It's always a pleasure. I'm excited for everything now, and hopefully we'll see you in the field of 2000 Trees next year.
Oh, fingers crossed. I wonder if all the bands will just do Thrice covers. I hope so. Imagine that. We just make a 2000 Thrice. We can call it 2000 Thrice, so we all just do Thrice covers. I'm in. We've done it already. So yeah, thank you so much for this. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the inspiration. Sorry my bands are no good, but that's not your fault. That's our fault for not learning out. I apologise that my bands have never been any good. That's not your fault, even though you've been massively inspirational. That's not your fault. It's mainly our fault. It's mainly our fault from not practising enough. But thank you very, very much. And yeah, hopefully we'll hang out to 2000 Trees and we'll get to do one of these in the flesh again. Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks, gents. You're listening to Sammy Bogart!
I was not expecting you to just burst out with that then.
Yes, what a chap, what a band, what a back catalogue. If you listen to all of Thrice, right, or there isn't a Thrice song you like, I think you might be deaf.
They're wrong. They'll be wrong as well.
Well, yeah, of course they're wrong, but the only excuse is you're deaf.
Yeah,
I think so. Okay. If you go back from the first record, Illusion of Safety, Artist in the Ambulance is one of the best pop rock, emo, hardcore records of all time. Just fucking hit after hit, and then Vihisu, and then it just gets. They keep going, and they're all good, and it's like. The change in his voice over the years as well has made it sound different and sound better in some aspects, and they're firing on all cylinders, and you know, not many bands are still doing that after like 20 years
or
whatever.
Well, even when they came back from their hiatus and the albums they've put out since then, I think they're absolutely killing it, and some of my favorite
They haven't missed.
And their comeback album had mega hits on it that people couldn't actually believe, and I'm really excited for this new record now, Horizons East, to be dropping digitally on September 17th, and physical copies will be available on October 8th. So head over to their website to pre-order one and get more details on that. But no, amazing to have Dustin on again. Such a pleasure to talk to. Got a real good insight into everything, and it's just mad their impact on music.
Yeah, the thing is, see, a lot of these artists don't even like. All right, you're going to have smugness. I know my band is good or whatever, right? But some of them genuinely don't realise, I don't think, that how important they are. And another thing that I don't like is that it takes for somebody to die before their friends and family or their bands find out how inspirational they actually are. And I don't think we're praising our heroes while they're here enough. So thanks again to Dustin. You're a fucking superstar. Your band's awesome. And we all owe you loads of stuff. So I will be collecting money for you.
You will. You will. Well, we might be at a few more festivals very, very soon. So you'll have a few debt collectors to go around there. But if you want even more insight into the world of Thrice and what they did during the hiatus, why not go back and listen to episode 50 of Sappening Podcast that we recorded on a bus with Dustin and Eddie backstage before one of their UK shows with Refused, which is a very, very nice time. And I can't believe it's almost being 100 episodes since that happened.
That is mental. That is mental. When you said in the beginning, right, like that we did an episode, whatever, we was it 50? That is, yeah, I was thinking, oh my God, that's like 90, that's like 93 episodes or whatever. Like, that's nuts. Do you know what? I'm just glad he came back. I'm glad he said yes to doing it again. I didn't know if he would, because I did a little bit of blaspheming on the bus the first time. So,
and we are two really silly idiots as well, so I think that's a...
Yeah, of course. And the thing is, you know, as Dustin is growing up and obviously maturing. Well, he's that's the thing. He's been a serious fella now for a good couple of years. And then the poor bastard has to deal with us pair of tits going, oh, I fucking love you, but oh, I love you, I do. I love you. Oh, me and all the other bands, we love you. And he's like, shut up, you tit. So I appreciate you for coming on, Dustin. If you get this far, tweet me at Sean Smith Sucks saying, shut it, mouth.
That'd be funny though if you just have that tweet from him. I'd print that off on a t-shirt for you. He just tweeted at you, shut your mouth on a t-shirt, merch idea or what. And of course, remember, if you are attending or thinking about attending 2000 Trees 2022, you fucking should, because it's a hell of a festival. But Fryce will be headlining one of the dates. And as he told us, he's going to be playing for Hisu in full, which is going to be mental. I'm sure they're going to play loads of hits and singles afterwards as well. So it's going to be a very good time. Head over to 2000 Trees' website for the tickets. And I'm sure we'll be there too. But speaking of festivals and everything, this week we put out an extra episode of the podcast, a bonus episode of my adventures at Bloodstock Festival. We can hear me speaking to Skindred, Napalm Death, I can't believe that happened, Vicky the Booker Organizer, Vexed, and even Therapy. And Sean is crying that me going to Bloodstock was even a thing. So go and check that out.
Yes. The fact that you survived is brilliant. It's good, obviously. It's good because I want you to be alive. But funny that we sent you, like, if one of us had to go, you'd think it'd be me, but take that. Friends' weddings constantly get in the way.
It's funnier. It's funnier if I go. It's funnier. But
it was good. It was good. You did well. So, yeah, go back and check that episode out. And, if you enjoyed that episode and if you enjoyed this episode, because you've got this far, which means you must still be listening, which has kept you here. So, at the very least, do us a favour and check out patreon.com/sapnin and consider supporting us and helping keep this podcast going. There's loads of stuff over at the Patreon, behind-the-scenes photos, videos, chats with people, and a whole load more content there. And also, you get to become part of our unbelievable Patreon family, who we love incredibly, who some of them are making as much money out of that group as we are trying to keep going. So a fair play to them. I don't know how they've managed to wangle into our group and then become the ultimate car salesman to all of our to all of our Patreons and get his own customers out of it. But congratulations, because what a good idea. I might start joining other people's Patreons to see if I can get them to come over to our Patreon. That's basically what's happening in this bloody group.
You never know. But yeah, our Patreon, lucky enough, we have like a community of wonderful people, but there's so many different walks of life from music and beyond in there as well. There's people who are in mega bands, or people who have been, the people in there bands have had top 40 albums over the years. There's people who've looked after some of producers. The biggest bands. There's producers, there's fellow podcasters, there's upcoming musicians, there's photographers, literally everything you can imagine. So if you want to make more friends or just kind of have more insights into day-to-day life in the music industry and beyond, join our Patreon, because honest to God, there's some wonderful people there, and it's always a surprising group. To say
yes, patreon.com/sapnin. And if you've enjoyed this episode, let us know over on the social media at Sapnin Pod, at SAPPENINPOD, at SAPPENINPOD on Twitter and Instagram. Let us know your thoughts, future guests, questions you have, just in case the guest comes back on, any of that shit. Just let us know. But right now, I should thank the elite members of our Patreon who helped to keep us going, who are very, very special indeed to us. So a massive thank you to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Mikey McDonald's McMuffin Buns. I said last week I was going to stop advertising the fast food chain. So Mikey Engler, thank you. Janelle Caston, Mitch Perry, Kelly Young, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Irwin, Liam Connolly, Scooby Drew Styles, Paul Hirschfield, Nathan Croshaw, Emma Barber, Sammy G, Ali G's brother, Shani Meyer, Boxel Anderson, Tony Michael, Amadine Urbano, Kat Besant, Captain Hannibal, Jenny Robertson, Murray Grimwood, Mike Oxmall, every week, Johnny Phillips, Amy Campion, Caroline Robertson, Caitlin Richards, Kevin Clark, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Lydia Henderson, Danny Eaton, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Kate Stevenson, Lucy Diaz, Emily Senegals, John and Emma, Kelly Cannon, Livy Cropper, Jason Heredia, Becky Andy, Stuart McNaught, Craig, pre-apology to Josh because I'll be a drunken mess at the meetup. Harris, as that happened. Adam, King of the Goths, Parslow. Ollie, finally been to some gigs, Amesbury. How good is that, Ollie? I saw you. I saw you at the junior gig in Swansea and it was fantastic. Chris Howard, Alice Wood. Josh, did you hear about the claustrophobic astronaut? He just needed a little space crisp. That was the same as last week. Step your game up. Daniel, far Q, Sean Stevenson, is that funnier? Daniel, wow. Far Q, Sean Stevenson, is that funnier? He said some rubbish about baby metal in this week's group. Anyway, so I'll just ignore that. Thank you very much, Reese Bowling, Craig Irvan, Amy Chilvers, Ben Evans, Mark Jones, and last but no means least, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you very much, all of those fucking legends. We love you very, very much. We love everybody involved with the Patreon. Check out the description of this and every previous podcast to see more of the Patreon's names and the wonderful community that we have somehow created off the back of our two terrible personalities.
Yeah, they are terrible as well. But that group makes me smile each and every day. There's always something funny going on. There's always something heartwarming. So come and join us and help us keep make this podcast each and every week. If not just for our sanity, I think, more than anything, because we like a giggle, even though it is a lot of stress. I'm rambling on. But we've got a lot of cool things to announce coming up. We've got a lot of cool guests that we're really excited for you to hear. So keep an eye on our social media pages for those as well. And we'll be back next Friday with another awesome, awesome podcast.
Yes, lovely, lovely, bloody stuff. Sapnin!
Sapnin! You can stop.
I need to fucking pass out. I'm not doing that again.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.